racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
The grill room doors are open, and we're ready to discuss all happenings around the world of golf. Hi, I'm Bob Bupker, proud to be here with Jay Randolph Jr., often known as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. We're in the grill room, and we're powered by Vertical Groove Golf. Well, Jay, we were a little apprehensive going into last week, but tell me what you saw through your lens about Tiger's return.
Well, you know, to say he's back is a big statement, but I'll tell you, he certainly looked like Tiger Woods being on top of his game at times. I mean, this was as good as it could have been. He, you know, as I said on Twitter after he completed his fourth round, he played four rounds. He beat the player of the year, Justin Thomas, by a stroke. You know, that's saying a whole lot for a guy that hasn't played much, that we haven't really seen anything definitive for. This time around, Bob, I think it looks different.
Well, that's what we're going to be talking about a lot during this show. But some of the highlights, obviously, the sponsors of the Hero World Challenge, you know, basically, they got paid in full. There was a lot of attention directed at Tiger. Got to say, Bridgestone got plenty of TV coverage, playing their golf ball, playing tailor-made clubs, hitting that Stinger 2-iron. I gather he had something to do with that. So, you know, on a lot of fronts, there was a lot of areas to be excited about. Now, there are a couple of things that later on we'll talk about in the show, and we have to temper our enthusiasm, because sometimes when you come back like that, everything feels fine, and then 3 or 4 days or a week or 2 weeks later, some niggling injuries crop up. That's my major concern right now.
We got ahead of ourselves last year, or at this time last year after the Hero World Challenge. I think, like you said, it's tempered enthusiasm, because, I mean, as you said, you know, there wasn't as much I don't think there was as much excitement necessarily around the President's Cup. I don't know we've had that type of excitement since the final round of the PGA. And it just goes to show you, whether you like him or not, you cannot deny the fact that the man moves the bar. I mean, Twitter was abuzz on Thursday through Sunday. It's good for the game. And I agree with you, Bob. You got to be careful, because I think some of us, and I think he got burned last year by believing that those 4 days were more meaningful than they actually were when we saw him go over the pond. But I do think this is different. I just, when you look at the ball speed, when you look at the way he was, I've had a number of people come into Normandy in the last couple of days and say, boy, he almost looks humble. And I think he's just in a really good place right now.
Well, there were certainly some indications of that. He seemed to be a lot friendlier with the galleries there. He was chatting it up much more with the players. But, you know, now he's deviating from the formula that got him 79 victories and 14 majors. And that was, you know, don't worry about the other players. Don't worry about the gallery. Just worry about your golf game. This is a new formula he's trying.
It's a different Tiger Woods than you used to interview just about every Sunday when he played and won a golf tournament. And you know, you and I talked, Bob, when things went awry with the last comeback, that, you know, we started to think, well, if he can't play again, what's his place going to be in the game? And you know, frankly, this Tiger Woods can be better for the game. I mean, I just think it's a fascinating time. I mean, you had to think over the course of those days when he was hitting driver three wood, 600 yards and over greens, and his ball speed was as high as Justin Thomas's, and he's knocking it past Justin Thomas. I mean, you had to think in your mind about the potential of a Sunday in April at Augusta with him in contention and potentially some of these wonderful young players that are in the mix now, what that could mean for our game.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely incredible. I mean, the stats don't lie. I mean, his ball speed was nearly 180 miles per hour. That's as, about as high as it goes in the game. His club head speed was just under 120 miles per hour. That's about as high as it goes in the game. But we must sprinkle in just a little bit of reality. You know, after all said and done, and we know he's been away for a long time, but the bottom line is 18 players in the field, he finishes ninth. If that's a full field event with 150 players, he finishes 75th. So, you know, we as hard as it is to sprinkle that in, you know, those are the facts. But certainly the way he was swinging that golf club, I, for one, was a little fearful, Jay, and I want your opinion on this. I was a little fearful he was swinging it too hard.
I think, you know, we've talked about this process of him coming back this time, and I think he's understood, you know, he started showing the video, they started posting videos of him hitting shots, playing with Trump, and, you know, I think he's been confident. And that's the thing that is interesting. I think he feels like he can do this, or else we wouldn't have seen those type of swings and that type of action. And the other thing is, I don't necessarily think now he's having to swing a certain way to be healthy or to feel right. I think, you know, he hit a lot of different shots, and you know, time's gonna tell. But it's, you hear the excitement in Bob and my voice, and it's something we hope so badly is going to continue.
Yeah, and one other thing, Jay, and I'm sure you see it a lot at Normandy, and I've seen this throughout my entire lifetime of playing golf, whether it be myself or whether it be you, Jay, or somebody showing up at Normandy. They haven't played in quite a while. They go out for that first round, and they play pretty well. And they say, holy mackerel, this is really fun. Golly, I'm playing so much better than I did when I quit. That's because they're not really thinking of anything, and they really don't have any recent bad shots in their memory bank. But then as you start to play a little bit more, everything starts to come back a little bit. Do you think there's any danger of that?
Well, I don't think so. I just think this time is so different because his demeanor was different, and I think he feels comfortable playing a certain way right now. It may not necessarily be exactly the way that he once played, and I don't think anybody expects that. But I still think he's still got the distance, Bob. And I think he learned a lot in the last year. I think with the situation with the mixture of pills that he took and all that, and that it didn't work out. I just think this is a different Tiger Woods. I'm hopeful.
The one question, and we're going to hear from Tiger here in just a minute, and it was very impressive the way he opened up about his injuries and his surgeries and repercussions of all of that. A question that cropped up for me, Jay, was this was a fusion. This was different than what they've done before.
Yep.
Why didn't they do this sooner?
Well, and I think a lot of people wondered through this whole process, and it's been multiple injuries, you know, but this, the back has been the one that really, you know, is the knee and then the back. I'm not sure, Bob. I don't know whether the initial diagnosis that he got was, hey, we can cure this with a surgery, and we don't have to do the fusion. But I mean, clearly, this seems different. And what he says about how he feels and playing with his kids and being able to do stuff that he couldn't even. I mean, he was wincing after shots on his comeback. So this is totally different, and it does make you wonder, hey, why didn't he do this the first time?
Let's go to our old buddy and find out what he had to say about how he felt he played.
I'm excited the way this this week has gone on. You know, with the not only the competitive rounds, but also, you know, all the duties at night, you know, all the functions, and still got my training in. It was a very good week.
Boy, he makes playing golf sound awful complicated, doesn't he?
Well, he does, but, you know, I think right off the bat, he said how pleased he was. I mean, I think that's big for him. You know, he wants to compete and win golf tournaments, but just getting back and competing and playing the way in which he did for a great portion of the championship or the tournament. You know, he played some pretty good golf. He had some hiccups and some mistakes and one really bad day. But on that day, you know, only one player shot 70. And that was Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah. So next, obviously, is we wanted to find out from Tiger, what was the best part of his game?
I really drove it well, and I really putted well. I know I had one day where I didn't have speed on the greens, but I hit a lot of good putts this week.
And hitting 13 out of 14 fairways, pretty impressive stuff there on that fourth and final round. You know, the chipping yips. He missed a couple of short chips, but, sure. You know, that's to be expected. I mean, like he said, overall, I think that he would have signed on the dotted line for that performance without ever putting a peg in the ground.
I don't think there's any question about it. And, you know, I'm glad they made mention of it on the broadcast that you know, those tight Bermuda fairways are really hard. You almost have to hit it so precise. I saw a lot of guys stubbing chips and duffing chips around the greens. That's just part of the case at that golf course. I mean, he was hitting at 300, Bob. And you know, he was hitting shots and picking up the tee immediately. That's a totally different look than we saw last time. Last time he had to have somebody else pick up the tee.
And we saw him twirling that club, certainly a Tiger Woods trademark. Here's the interesting thing that I was thinking of, Jay. Those guys certainly were excited about seeing Tiger out there. However, I was talking to a good friend of mine, Mark Herman, who covers golf for Newsday back in New York, and the subject came up. Certainly the Justin Thomases, the Ricky Fowlers, the Dustin Johnsons, all those guys are very excited about having Tiger back. Now, if Tiger starts dominating 90% of the press coverage, are they still going to be excited about having Tiger back out there?
Again, it's one of the fascinating aspects. The thing that we've talked about, Bob, is can Tiger Woods compete with this new breed of young players and the way in which they play the game? And this was evidence that, yes, he can. And if he, you know, I mean, we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. But let's say by, you know, midsummer, he's won a golf tournament, whether it's a major or whether it's, you know, the Torrey Pines or whether it's Colonial. If he wins another golf tournament, that's going to send a message to everybody. And it's going to be interesting to see, because you and I used to see it right in front of our eyes, how his name going up a leaderboard changed the way guys played.
And the amazing leap that he made, I get a kick out of this. Tiger's official world golf ranking going into Euro, he was ranked 1199th in the world. I think I was ranked, I was 1201, you were 1200, and he escalated all the way to 668. All right, now, the big question, schedule going forward. We got all the razzle dazzle. He's going to meet with the team, talk things over. Logical choice, probably Farmers Insurance Open in Torrey Pines. That's at the end of January. Then probably to Riviera for the Genesis Open. That's hosted by the Tiger Woods Foundation. Then I think he'll be down in Florida for the Honda and maybe even playing in Arnold Palmer's tournament, and then after that is the Masters. That'll be amazing if he's healthy and going into the Masters. I don't even care, Jay, if he's won an event prior to the Masters. If he pulls down Magnolia Lane early in April and he's not wincing in pain, there's going to be so much excitement down there. It's going to be incredible.
Well, there's no doubt about it. I mean, it's going to be wild. I think it'll be interesting as you talked about that schedule. Yes, the logical choice is Torrey Pines, but you know, I think it'll be very interesting to see how he chooses to get back at it. I mean, you know, he might even play in Phoenix because that's a place where early on he played well. I think it's going to be unbelievable to see. I think it's probably a little much to see if he could make it into the World Golf Championship events, but you know, only time's going to tell. And the bottom line is it's a lot of fun. Groove up with the vertical groove driver. Why do we use vertical groove driver? Well, it's simple. Really, it's in my bag because the face of the vertical groove driver is different. That's right. The grooves go up and down, not left to right like other clubs. Why? Well, the research has shown that the vertical groove pattern creates less side spin, which is going to mean less dispersion, which for you and me means less time spent in the rough, more fairways hit, and a little longer in those fairways. Greater distance and accuracy. Groove up with the vertical groove driver. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf. Heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, to play The Grill Room Golf Show, and you'll be connected.
And it was Ricky Fowler coming out on top. An incredible final round there, Jay, shooting a 61. Ricky was very happy after that performance.
Well, this time of year, especially after President's Cup, took 5 weeks off and then went to Mexico, played at Mayakoba, and ended up finishing second. And so I knew the game was kind of still hanging around where we were for the year. And to come here after some time off, Allison and I went to California last week to spend time with our families for Thanksgiving, and the club stayed home. So I knew coming here, we're just going to have to rely on our year and how we played in Mexico. And it's nice to, you know, see the game hang around and that we can build on some things and make next year a special one.
You know, my observation of Ricky Fowler right now, he's the best putter in the game, Jay.
And the best player without a major. I don't think there's any question about it. Ricky Fowler with 7 straight birdies, 8 of the first 9, took control of that golf tournament, set the course record. It's a big win for him. The only thing he's lacking, Bob, is that major. And the more times he gets in the hunt, the better a chance he's going to have.
Good performances by Charlie Hoffman, Tommy Fleetwood, and Justin Rose, a pair of Englishmen, finishing in the top 5. Jordan Spieth played well, missed a couple of surprisingly short putts. I'm sure he'll be working on that. And then, of course, Matt Kuchar and Tiger Woods at -8, tying for 9th.
Well, Bob, it was probably the most memorable Hero World Challenge that we've had.
Well, there's no doubt about that, Jay. And you alluded to it earlier. It's exactly what Tiger Woods does to a golf tournament. The players know it. The spectators know it. TV knows it. Golf fans everywhere know it. When Tiger tees it up, it's a different type of event.
You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, TalkSport 2, TuneIn, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spreaker, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, to play the Grill Room Golf Show.
When we return,
you'll be
we'll learn a little bit about Jay Randolph Jr.'s father and his link to golf. As many of you know, Jay Sr. has had a great and interesting career in sports broadcasting, one of the best all time. He recently sat down with Tim McKernan, and we'll hear part of that when we return.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to The Grill Room.
Welcome back to The Grill Room. He's Jay, I'm Bob, and we certainly appreciate you taking time out to listen to The Grill Room. This next segment that we're going to go into, I kind of feel a little bit left out, I got to be honest with you, because we're going to talk about Jay Randolph Jr.'s dad, who, guess what? He won a golf tournament in Egypt. Janice Self, the executive producer of this Grill Room Golf Show, she won a golf tournament in Egypt. I have never been to Egypt, so that's what I'm talking about. But Jay Randolph Sr., legendary in the world of broadcasting, not only golf, but so many things. We had an opportunity to listen in on part of a sit-down Jay Randolph Sr. had with Tim McKernan on the Tim McKernan Podcast. You're going to find this fascinating.
You're winning the Egyptian Amateur. You must have been a hell of a golfer.
Well, I almost turned pro in 1954 and went on the tour. But I went to college on a golf scholarship at George Washington University in the old Southern Conference. I played in three U.S. Amateurs. I played in three North-South Amateurs. I played in two British Amateurs. I played in three Canadian Amateurs. Mexican Amateur, I won the Southern Conference Championship in Danville, Virginia, when I was in college. And that was before there was an Atlantic Coast Conference. It was all Southern Conference, about 20 teams. And that's the first time I met Arnold Palmer, of course, was in 52. Then in 53, I played in the Amateur at Oklahoma City, and Arnold played there as well. That tournament was won by Gene Littler. But the following year at Detroit, Arnold won the Amateur, and it was, I think he always said to me and everybody, that when he won the Amateur in Detroit, it gave him the confidence to turn pro. He was selling paint for a company in Cleveland. That was his living, so to speak, and he and Winnie had just gotten married, and it was an interesting time, but I have to say that one of the great joys of my life was knowing Arnold all those years, and did some commercials with him, played some golf with him. He was a tremendous friend. And of course he came along at a time when television was just getting into golf, and he had this charismatic ability. When he walked on the first tee, I mean, it was, and it's still that way. When we had the senior PGA here and we got rained out on Friday, it meant that he could play on Saturday, because otherwise he would have missed the cut. But the cut didn't come till Saturday, and I stood with him at Belle Reve, and they were standing 15, 20 deep all the way around the first hole, and he drew the fans, and he came along at the right time and really revolutionized golf in this country.
We're listening to a sit-down with Jay Randolph Sr. on the Tim McKernan Podcast.
I recall, I think in 2004, Bell Reeve hosted the U.S. Senior Open.
That's what I'm talking. That's the year I'm talking
about. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
So, and I was walking into the media tent. He was walking out, a one-on-one, one-second exchange. You have hours and days spent with him. And he looked at me and said, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah. Just,
and I'm going, "Oh my, I'm good, thank you." You know, that's Arnold Palmer. What in the world? But I gather from what people have said now that he's passed and people tell these stories, that was the way he conducted himself, and therefore he connected to crowds and people.
He connected wherever he was. It was just dramatic to see how he could turn a room on when he would step into it. And he had a great naturalness about him and a tremendous talent as they came along at the right time. I remember the last tournament they won, I covered the Bob Hope Desert Classic. And there was a fellow who had just started a company in Palm Springs manufacturing plus fours, the Knickers, which were, of course, always worn back in the 20s and 30s.
Absolutely.
And he gave me a couple of pair of his knickers to wear, and I, on Saturday, wore a yellow pair of knickers with a yellow shirt, NBC shirt, and Arnold was doing a news conference in the press tent. I walked into the door, and he was a crawl way across the room at the end of the room in the midst of this news conference, and he saw me standing there in these yellow plus fours with my shirt, and he stopped dead in his tracks, and he said, "Oh my God, look, it's a 1,000-pound canary." And a great many people on the PGA Tour used to call me the Bird. A lot of people thought it was because of Jay Bird, but it was really because of Arnold talking to me about it being a canary.
So you got a chance to play with him. You almost go pro. What kept you from going pro?
My father. He talked me out of it. He didn't want me to do it.
And what was his reason?
Well, at that time, professional golfers didn't make any money.
Yeah.
They traveled two or three to a car. They stayed two or three to a room, many of them. I mean, it's mind-boggling to think that Sam Snead won 82 tournaments in his career. And his entire career, he never made $1 million.
Wow.
And now, a guy makes $1.2 million if he wins the tournament.
Yep.
One tournament. You know, television changed everything. The media changed everything. And Arnold struggled the first year or two that he was on the tour, and then he started winning, and it just was very infectious. But I don't regret the fact. I had a chance to go into a program with Spalding. They were taking six young players in the amateur ranks every year and putting them out on the winter tour, which was the Caribbean Tour in those days. But I don't have any regrets about it. I played a lot of tournament golf. I won a few tournaments, and I made so many wonderful friends, and it helped me a great deal when I got to NBC and they decided to use me at golf. First person ever used me at golf was Frank Cherkinian, who really, he invented golf on television. Cherkinian was the guru at CBS, and he hired me in 68 to do the Masters, and that was the year Bob Golby won, and
yes.
I was there and had such a great thrill of being there.
Well, I'm glad we got to play that, Bob. You know, my dad is now, 83? He's 11 over par, and he's still with it, and he's seen a lot of things. He talks about in the interview the fact that he can remember sitting on Franklin Delano Roosevelt's lap and feeling his braces that he wore, and all the years of covering sports. And the thing that amazes me about him is how nice a guy he is. You know, I'll say something bad about something every couple hours. He's always upbeat.
Well, I had the privilege, and I absolutely refer to it as a privilege of working with him, covering golf. I learned a lot by listening to him. I got a kick out of when he mentioned the name Frank Cherkinian, because I knew Frank very well, a sheer genius in the television business. Your dad also had the privilege of walking on a driving range and seeing a little 14-year-old kid that your dad immediately recognized the talent. That was none other than Jack Nicklaus. So I'm happy that the Grill Room was able to pay a little tribute to my partner's father, a legendary broadcaster, not only in golf, but baseball, basketball, just every sport. All he has to do is say hello, and it sounds good. And as I said earlier, it was a real privilege for me to work alongside of him for the opportunities I had in covering golf with Jay Randolph Sr.
Well, when January 1st comes around, some of the Grill Room, Bob and Janice, will be comfortably situated in the Kapalua Villas for the Century Tournament of Champions. Just imagine, beautiful sunshine, great villa, gorgeous ocean views. What could be better? You being there. If you're planning a trip to Maui or want to, please visit kapaluavillas.com to choose the best option for your stay, kapaluavillas.com. And we'll definitely find time to groove up with the Vertical Groove Golf Driver. Yes, the Kapalua Golf Academy has a learning center and a range, which is always a place to visit. This year, we'll be logging in some quality time with our Vertical Groove Drivers. Why do we use Vertical Groove Driver? Well, it's simple, really. It's in my bag because the face of the Vertical Groove Driver is different. That's right. The grooves go up and not down, not left to right like other clubs. Why? Well, the research has shown that the Vertical Groove pattern creates less side spin, which is going to mean less dispersion, which for you and me means less time spent in the rough, more fairways hit, and a little longer in those fairways. Greater distance and accuracy. Groove up with the Vertical Groove Driver.
And now that the holiday season is upon us, we encourage everyone to groove up. It's easy and would make the ideal holiday gift for golfers in your life. Just go to vertgolf.com, place your order. You even get to build your own club. Choose which shaft, which loft, which grip works best for your game. Customize it to your very own specifications. So go vertical with Vertical Groove Golf.
Time for another short break, and when we return, we'll see what else is happening in the world of golf.
You're listening to The Grill Room. Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par three as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. The facility uses a unique dynamic pricing structure that golfers seem to love. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest. Welcome back to The Grill Room.
You're listening to The Grill Room. He's Jay Randolph Jr. I'm Bob Bupka, and we're certainly happy to be bringing you another edition of The Grill Room. Let's take a look now at the PGA Tour Champions Q School results. Tom Byron wins the medalist honors, Jay, at PGA Tour Champions Q School behind the strength of a tournament tying 61 in the third round. Tom Byron finished at 19 under par. Tommy Tolles second. Kent Jones, Tim Petrovic, and somebody that you know pretty well. You competed against him way back when, an amateur.
Ken Tanigawa. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I know he's been playing some really good amateur golf. He won the mid-amateur, but, you know, he played as an amateur here. If he didn't make the finals or move on to the Champions Tour, he probably would have kept his amateur status, but he makes it, and watch out for Ken Tanigawa. Big, tall kid. I think he played at UCLA. He is a stick. Gibby Gilbert, we should mention, Bob, was tied for seventh. He was playing a Vertical Groove Driver.
and he'll be getting some starts on that Champions Tour. Good news coming out of Hawaii. We can't wait till we get there January 1st, but Sony extended their sponsorship of the Sony Open in Hawaii through 2022. Presumably, Century signed to sponsor Kapalua's Tournament of Champions for 10 years. They pretty much go hand in hand, those two events. Good news there, but sad news with the next item, Jay, and it's about 28-year-old Morgan Hoffman.
Yeah, he's let it be known that he is in a battle with muscular dystrophy, which is incurable. He'll continue to play and gain exposure and publicity in hopes of finding a cure, turning a negative into a positive, and hopefully maybe as fast as medical discoveries are being made, something can happen. This is really tough. This is a young man that had a huge future, and we wish him the best, obviously.
Well, out of Arizona, Phil is keeping brother Tim on the bag, was the ASU coach and sports agent to John Rahm. However, Rahm announced he'll move to another sports agent in the Lagardère agency, so Tim can focus on being Phil's full-time caddy. Lagardère is the same agency that represents Phil. And Phil's scheduled to resume his 2018 career. I think he's lined up a 5-tournament stretch there. Looks like a rather ambitious start to the 2018 season for Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, it's good to see him coming out off the bat. The Career Builder Challenge, followed by the Farmers Insurance Open. Going to play in Phoenix, where he went to college, the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. And then the Genesis Open at Riviera, which we hope Tiger Woods will also be competing in. It's an event hosted by Tiger and benefits the Tiger Woods Foundation.
And, of course, it's the official silly season is what they used to call it. One kind of neat event coming up, going to be the father-son. I really like that. That's always a lot of fun. That's down in Florida. Another one down in Florida is going to be Greg Norman's, the QBE shootout, it's being called now. It's a scramble format. I should say scramble format during the first round, modified alternate shot during second round, better ball for Sunday's final round. They got a new fancy name there, though, Jay. It's called the Premier PGA Tour Postseason Event in its 29th year. It is a PGA Tour co-sanctioned event.
Yeah, a lot of rigmarole is what all that is. I mean, I'm just so happy that two-time winners and the defending champion, Harris English and Matt Kuchar, could play, because, boy, Kuchar needs money. I mean, he just hadn't made enough money. We should mention Tony Finau and Lexi Thompson are going to play. It's Lexi's second consecutive appearance. Good to see a gal playing with the boys.
Yeah, she has a lot of fun playing in that. And looking over the field, I kind of fancy the chances of Charlie Hoffman and Zach Johnson. Charlie coming off a great performance down in the Bahamas. Zach Johnson as steady as a rock. What about that Irish connection, too, there? Graham McDowell, Shane Lowry. They'll be a lot of fun. And a couple of old-timers, Sean O'Hare and Steve Stricker.
Hard to believe you said old timers, but you're right. I'm going to tell you who's going to win that tournament. It's going to be Kevin Chappell and Kevin Kisner.
Just another reminder, please check out vertgolf.com. What a great Christmas or Hanukkah gift that would be. That's vertgolf.com.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week. You're listening to The Grill Room, powered by Vertical Groove Golf, the new face of golf.
So on behalf of our executive producer, Janice Self, Jay Randolph Jr., and myself, Bob Bupka, a big thank you for being part of our Grill Room family. Please follow us on Twitter at TGRGolf. Of course, you can like us and follow us on Facebook and on Instagram at The Grill Room Golf Show.
Thanks for spending some time in the Grill Room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.